This morning, we're continuing our series in the Old Testament book of Jonah, reading from Jonah chapter 2, if you'd like to turn and follow along. This is Jonah's prayer, or Jonah's psalm, that we began looking at last week. This morning, we'll read verses 1 through 7. As you turn, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice, and though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the word of our God will stand forever. Jonah chapter 2, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, beginning in verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. We ask this morning that you would give us grace to receive your truth in faith, in love, and the strength to follow on the path that you have set before us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Really, in an introductory fashion, last week, we looked at two questions to set the scene for this prayer of Jonah. One was, when did he pray? What brought him to that point? And then two was, what did he pray? The when was after God brought him to a low condition in his life. Literally. Underneath the ocean, in a fish. The what we introduced by asking the question, if you were just to take these verses out of the Bible, verses 1 through 10, and you didn't have any navigational beacons, you didn't have the name of the book or the chapter or any of that sort, and just read them, if you have any familiarity with the Old Testament, you would probably guess they came from the book of Psalms. And you would be right. But this is not one particular psalm. This is actually a collection of 10 different psalms. Quotations of 10 different psalms, allusions to 10 different psalms, which lets us know that this was a man who had been raised and nurtured in the Psalms. He grew up reading them. He grew up singing them. He grew up memorizing them. He grew up meditating upon them. He grew up in a body of believers. This doesn't happen overnight. This takes years of cultivation. He grew up in a body of believers that had a high view of the Word of God, or what we would call today, it was a Bible-believing church. And what we see in the life of Jonah is the fruit of a lifetime of being nurtured in the Scriptures, particularly the Psalms, coupled with the working of the Holy Spirit. And when Jonah finds himself in the darkest conditions of life, when he finds himself at the rock bottom, both figuratively and literally in this case, we see that he is prepared to deal with it. He has the words to pray. When he's finally moved to pray, he has the vocabulary to pray. And what this is a classic example of the power of God's word not returning void. It is a classic example of the Lord using his word, the power of his spirit, in the darkest hour of need to refresh Jonah and to call him back. This morning, I want to take a little closer look at the actual content of his prayer. What exactly is he praying for in the depths? What exactly is he praying for in the darkest hour of life? In general, noted last week, this is a prayer of thanksgiving. It's not a prayer of appeal and petition. This is a prayer of thanksgiving. You see that starting at the very beginning. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Now remember, he's still in the belly of Sheol. He's still in the belly of the great fish. He hasn't been physically delivered, but he's already giving thanks that the Lord has heard his cry, and he has been spiritually delivered. This is a prayer of thanksgiving. This is a prayer of thanksgiving for God's mercy. Well, I think there's three basic themes here. I want to draw out three basic themes from the prayer of Jonah. A framework that hangs on three main ideas. And I want to suggest to you that these three themes provide a wonderful model way for us to pray when we find ourselves in difficult, dark circumstances, in times of distress, just like Jonah. This is a very practical model prayer. And here are the three points. Number one, he recognizes his situation. Number two, he remembers his relationship. And number three, he reflected on God's grace. Number one, he recognized his situation. Look with me. Verse 1, I called out to the Lord out of my distress. He's in distress. And he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. That's another way of saying hell or the grave. He's as good as dead. That's his condition. That's his situation. Verse 3, the flood surrounded me. That's a reference to many psalms that speak metaphorically of the troubles of life rising like floodwaters. You ever feel that way? That's a common metaphor in the psalms. Of course, in Jonah's situation, it's literally true too. He is in the middle of the rising floodwaters. Jonah realized he was as good as dead. Look at verse 7. When my life was fainting away. Miserable. Look at verse 5. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. It's awful. He was entombed. He was imprisoned. His life is surely about to end. Now, it's not likely that any of us will ever find ourselves in this exact situation. I hope not. But it is very likely that many of us at some point will find ourselves in a situation that makes us have these same emotional reactions. Maybe it's a derailed career path or a shocking diagnosis or a failed relationship, failed course. Things not turning out in life the way you would have wanted, you would have predicted, you would have asked for, and you feel like you're in distress, you feel like you're in the belly of Sheol, you feel like God has kicked you in the teeth. In fact, verse 4, he says, then I said, I am driven away from your sight. That feeling that God has forsaken you. That's where Jonah was. But look what he's doing. He's recognizing this situation and he is verbalizing it in prayer to the Lord. Father, this is where I am. Father, this is how I feel. And not only is he recognizing his situation in prayer to the Lord, but he's recognizing God's providence in all of it. That's a hard thing to do when you're in pain. But he does it. Verse 3, you cast me into this mess. Your waves, your billows. The first step we see in Jonah's prayer is he recognizes the pain of his situation. But he also recognizes it's in God's providence. Second major theme in the prayer of Jonah, he recognizes his situation. He remembered his relationship. Look at verse 1. I called out to the Lord, that is Yahweh, that's the covenant name of God, out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Remember, now Jonah's a believer. He's in covenant relationship with God. He's been a prophet for many years. He's a man of the cloth, raised in the scriptures. He knows God as his covenant God. He's a believer. Yahweh is his God. And in one sense, that makes his rebellion more foolish. When you know better and you rebel, that increases the level of guilt. But on the other hand, the fact that he knows God is also the reason for having hope. He knows he's separated from God. I'm driven away from your sight, he says in verse 4. But what he knew about the Lord reminded him that there is a way of hope. There is a way of hope. Despite his sin, he remembers God's promise of grace. He had deserted God, but God had not deserted him. And that's what gives him hope. He remembers his relationship with God. In times of despair, we must remember that God promises never to desert his people. He's our Father. He loves us. Nothing can separate. No sin can separate us from that. In fact, that's exactly what Paul expands on in Romans chapter 8. Turn with me just for a moment. Romans chapter 8, reflecting on the everlasting covenant promises of God and the everlasting love of God, remembering our relationship to a God who loves us despite our sin. Romans chapter 8, you're familiar, beginning verse 35. This is the very thing that Jonah's calling to mind. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is crucial in times of difficulty. That is crucial in times when it feels like you have been gut punched. To know through faith that God is still on your side. He's still your Father. He's still walking with you. He is faithful. This is exactly what the liberal critics, the higher critics of Jonah, cannot comprehend. How is it that in the midst of the depths, Jonah is confident of God's salvation? How is it in the midst of life's darkest hours, he's offering a prayer of thanksgiving and praise? It's remarkable. He's not asking God to deliver him from the fish. But instead, in the depths, he's saying, I call out to you, and here I am, as good as dead, under the water, entombed in the belly of the fish, and you hear my voice, verse 2. How did Jonah know that God heard his voice? How did Jonah know that God answered him? The fact that he remembered the Lord and acknowledged his unworthiness and praised God despite the circumstances. His remembrance of his Savior was enough to assure him of the certainty of his salvation, that he would be restored, either in this life or the next. And his circumstances are looking like the next. But the point is, he's good either way. He knows whom he serves, and he knows who has him. He will be restored. Do you realize that the fact that you exercise your faith in Christ is evidence that God is working in your life? That's where Jonah is. Do you realize that if you are in God's care, you are safe, even in the midst of the darkest trials of life? That's what Jonah's remembering. He recognized his situation. He remembered his relationship. Let me give you a third theme in this prayer. We find it in verse 4. He reflected on God's grace. You see that in that pivotal statement in verse 4. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet, I shall again look upon your holy temple. I'm as good as dead. I feel like my God has forsaken me. Yet I know I will again look upon your holy temple. Why does Jonah think of God's temple here? What is the temple? The temple is the location where God placed his name. The temple is the heartbeat of God's grace. The temple is a location where God symbolically set his favor and his presence between the cherubim of the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. The temple is the location where the blood of lambs was shed for the forgiveness of sin, picturing God's provision for the restoration of sinners into his eternal grace and favor, sinners like Jonah himself. And because of the mercy granted by God through the sacrifice of lambs, Jonah could turn his attention, even in the clutches of death, and know without a shadow of a doubt he has a sure and certain hope of salvation and resurrection and a life to come. I will see your temple again. And friends, as we know, on this side of the cross, when Jonah looked in faith to God's costly provision for restoring sinners, that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And each of us, no matter how fallen you are, can look to the altar on which the Lamb was slain for reconciliation to God. Each of us, in the darkest circumstances of life, whether they're caused by your sin or whether they're not caused by your sin, and we'll experience both, no doubt. Even in the darkest circumstances of life, like Jonah, we can look to the cross of Christ and be reminded of his grace, reminded of his love, and recognize our situation, remember our relationship with our loving Father. Friends, the table before us is a beautiful picture of the sacrifice of the Lamb who was slain once and for all. I'm going to ask the men to come forward and begin to prepare.